In today's news headlines, the second day of the Senate impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump commenced on Wednesday, with prosecutors building a compelling case of how he incited violence at the Capitol in January. House impeachment manager Jamie Raskin offered a powerful metaphor for what he says Trump did, which was far worse than the proverbial shouting fire in a crowded theater.
It's more like a case where the town fire chief, who's paid to put out fires, sends a mob not to yell fire in a crowded theater, but to actually set the theater on fire. And who then, when the fire alarms go off and the calls start flooding into the fire department asking for help, does nothing but sit back, encourage the mob to continue its rampage, and watch the fire spread on TV with glee and delight.
Representative Joaquin Castro of Texas pointed out that for months before the election, Trump repeatedly told his supporters that the only way he would lose would be if the election was stolen from him.
But can you imagine telling your supporters that the only way you could possibly lose is if an American election was rigged and stolen from you? And ask yourself whether you've ever seen anyone at any level of government make the same claim about their own election. But that's exactly what President Trump did. He truly made his base believe that the only way he could lose was if the election was rigged.
House impeachment manager Joe Neguse drew the line between Trump and the January 6th rioters in their own words as he introduced a new video during the hearing.
They believed that they were following his orders. They said so.
I thought I was following my president. I thought I was following what we were called to do.
President Trump requested that we be in D.C. on the 6th.
Ahead of the second day's hearing, one congressional aide said we'll be using footage never seen before that shows a view of the Capitol that is quite extraordinary and a view of the attack that has never been public before, which you will see for the first time starting today. On Tuesday, day one of the impeachment trial, 56 senators voted to allow the proceedings to continue, saying that it was indeed constitutional to try a former president if the high crimes and misdemeanors were committed while in office. Six Republicans, including Senator Bill Cassidy, joined all 50 Democrats in voting yes. The highlight of the first day, aside from compelling testimony by Congressman Jamie Raskin and a powerful video timeline of the January 6th events, was the ineptness of Mr. Trump's attorneys, in particular Bruce Castor. The lawyer's rambling, unfocused speech confounded even Republicans and enraged Trump. At one point, Castor claimed that if Trump was guilty, he would have been arrested by the Justice Department.
After he's out of office, you go and arrest him. So there is no opportunity where the president of the United States can run rampant in January, the end of his term, and just go away scot-free. The Department of Justice does know what to do with such people. And so far, I haven't seen any activity in that direction.
Mr. Castor also spoke out loud the words that his client had refused to say, that the former president was no longer in office because he lost the election.
The American people just spoke. And they just changed administrations. So in the light most favorable to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle here, their system works.
That's Trump's attorney, Bruce Castor, on Tuesday admitting that Trump lost the election. Pro-Trump attorney Alan Dershowitz, who is not part of Trump's legal team this time, reflected in an interview how poorly Castor did his job.
I have no idea what he's doing. I have no idea why he's saying what he's saying.
Critics are pointing out that in order to have the most compelling prosecution, impeachment managers must call witnesses. The group Free Speech for People sent a letter to the managers suggesting that victims of the attack should testify, as well as senators themselves, who said after the January 6th riot that they had attempted desperately to get Trump on the phone to call for help, but were unable to reach him. The group also wants Trump subpoenaed and required to testify in person, as well as Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. In fact, on Wednesday, Georgia opened a criminal probe of Trump's phone call to Raffensperger, demanding that he find votes to overturn that state's results. A new Gallup poll found that the Republican Party as a whole is less popular. Only 37% of respondents think positively about the GOP, down from 43% last November. Voter registration data shows that thousands of registered Republicans are leaving the party. In California alone, 33,000 Republicans took steps to switch party allegiance. Nationwide, that number is about 140,000. In news from the pandemic, one reason for hope is that after months of suffering and deaths, virus-related cases are finally declining. According to the New York Times, the seven-day average of new cases has fallen more than 50% since it peaked on January 8th. A similar trend is being observed globally. However, mutations of the virus that are more easily transmissible could undercut the progress. Scientists are warning that a UK variant of COVID-19 is spreading fast through the US and is expected to dominate infections by March. The CDC has just released the results of a study that it conducted, finding that two masks are better than one at preventing infections. The state of California now officially has had the highest number of COVID-related deaths of any state in the nation, surpassing even New York. California is the most populous in the nation, however. The weekly per capita cases of infections place California 20th in the nation out of 50 states. New York is currently at number 5. Meanwhile, the Chicago Teachers Union has approved a deal with the city on returning to school in person starting on Thursday. The agreement includes 2,000 vaccinations offered to teachers in the first week and then 1,500 doses per week after that. About a tenth of all Americans have so far received their first vaccine shots, and most are unhappy with the slow rollout of the inoculation efforts, as per a new poll. More worryingly, an AP NORC poll shows that about a third of all Americans are skeptical of the safety of vaccinations. The slow rollout, combined with unfounded vaccine fears, threatens a return to normalcy, as it allows more time for variants of the virus to spread unchecked through the population. In other news, a number of prominent celebrities have asked Joe Biden's administration to shut down the Dakota Access Pipeline. Collaborating with indigenous climate activists, actors and pop stars, including Scarlett Johansson, Mark Ruffalo, Robert Downey Jr., Don Cheadle, Cher and Cyndi Lauper, have written a letter urging the government to shut down the pipeline, citing serious short and long-term impacts to the environment. The pipeline is currently suspended as the Army Corps of Engineers is conducting an environmental review. And finally, in Myanmar, where a military coup based on claims of a fraudulent election remains in effect, resistance is widespread. And in spite of police violence over the past week, tens of thousands of Burmese are protesting in the streets. One young student told AP, quote, "As part of Generation Z, we are first-time voters. This is our first time to protest as well. They negated our votes, and this is totally unfair. We do not want that. We hope they release our leaders and implement a real democracy." The Biden administration has just announced that it will impose sanctions on Myanmar. And that does it for our news headlines.